To love him is to be known by him. In so many circles in Christianity today, loving him is not even considered part of being a Christian. It's how much he loves us. It's what he can do for us. It's what blessings we deserve. It's the grace of God. But loving him is not even mentioned. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 8:3, he says, "But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him." So to love him is to be known by him. That's the only way we are known by him. And often it's quoted that he will never leave us nor forsake us, which is absolutely true. But we sometimes can, and some believers do, leave him and forsake him for themselves. He says that if we are going to love our lives, if we are going to try to save our lives, we will lose them. He means what he says. He's not just talking figuratively. We will lose our lives. We will not have eternal salvation if we try to save our lives through ourself, not just because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ and our faith in him that saves us, but because we're going to walk with him and in him, worthy of the calling with which we've been called. Loving God is the greatest achievement a person on earth can have, to truly love the living God. Because what does he say? We all know these scriptures. "Lord, Lord, look what I've done for you. Look how I've prophesied mighty works." Other ones, "Lord, Lord." They just call out to him, assuming that they are his. And he says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And that "knew," that word "knew" in the Greek, is knowing experientially, knowing in total union as one. As one. As a husband and wife are meant to be in the ideal union. One. That's how he wants to be loved. And that's how you'll be known by him. As one in him. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. He abides in us. He lives in us. I recently heard from someone, and I thought it was one of the most reverent things I've ever heard a Christian want to do. And this person had said that because she had realized how he truly indwells her, how he truly is a person, Holy Spirit, she wanted to do nothing that would offend him. So she asked him, "Show me, teach me, reveal to me anything that I do that is offensive, because I do not want to do it because you are in me." That is caring for him. That is caring for the temple as well. But it's caring for the one who abides in the temple. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:24-23, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." Do not become slaves of men. And that's including yourself. Do not become a slave of your own flesh. Do not become a slave of your own desire. Do not become a slave of your own need. Do not become a slave of your own wishes or hopes. Because you were bought. We were bought with his precious blood. We were bought. And people say that, and it's lip service. "Oh, the precious blood of Jesus." But it doesn't mean anything because they don't live for him. Do you know how you know if someone really means what they say? They live what they say. Even people in the secular world who do not know God would say the same. This one you can trust because what they say they mean, they do it. This one you can't because what they say, they don't do. It's the same for him. We're to mean what we say. We're to live what we say. I've been seeing people over and over recently, because last days are here, whether we want to agree to it or not. I've been seeing what's happening in the body. Those that have been lukewarm, those that have been half-hearted, those that have blamed God, those that have not lived for him, those that have not loved him, are falling away fast and furious, like dust in the wind, Because not just there are trials and tribulations and the enemy is sifting people and we're getting pressured. Yes, that's happening. And that happens. That's been happening since Jesus came. But now the testing is, are you really mine or not? Will you step over this line and be fully mine or not? Because if you love me, you will be known by me, he says. If you love me. And what assurance if you do love him. If you love him, you're known by him. He knows you personally. Number of hairs on the head. Color of your eyes. Length of your body. Dreams in your heart. He knows all of it. He made you. And he made everyone. But he does not know everyone. Because being known is not just having an acquaintance. You can know the President of the United States, or you can know the Queen of England, or you can know the Prime Minister of Australia. You can know about them. You can see them on TV. You can hear quotes and conversations. But are you known by them personally? No. Most of us would have to answer no, we are not. And they might know of you because you're part of the population. But do they know you personally? No. And that's what God wants. And we're not talking just about some kind of personal, gushy relationship so we can all feel good about ourselves today. We're talking about selling yourself completely to him because you were bought at a price. He already bought you. Now you can choose not to be sold to him. But then you're a slave of unrighteousness and sin. Then you're a slave of self, and ultimately you're a slave of Satan. So all the monkey business that Christians have been doing for centuries, time has come to stop. Because there will be no returns. I've spoken to people recently that may want healing, may want some other type of ministry. But the truth is their relationship with God is in a shambles. And when I pray in the Spirit, they either admit it, or he actually speaks to them and they haven't been able to hear him and they wonder why they can't hear him. Well, if you sow into the flesh most of your life, most of your time, you spend away from him, you're going to reap what you sow. And when you have difficulties, there'll be nothing to reap but flesh. There won't be strength because you spent time with him, communion. There won't be understanding and wisdom because you've been reading his word through the eyes of his Spirit. There won't be endurance because you've been sowing into the flesh, giving in all the time, so all you know how to do is give in. And you certainly won't be hearing clearly from him because you've ignored him. And most of the time you don't know when he's even talking to you. Perhaps he's spoken over and over and over and over, but you've been deaf. So his one qualification, we look at this, you know, so many times we get caught up in how am I behaving? Am I doing this right? Am I making God happy? Have I honored him today? I made a mistake. And we do need to repent from those things. This is not cheap false grace we're talking about. Yes, we do. You keep your heart clean before him. He is faithful and righteous to cleanse you. But one thing that we cannot be continually worried about is, do we know him? And are we known by him? If we love him, we are. We are. We are. We are. What joy! Paul wrote in Colossians 3, and remember, every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when we say Paul wrote, yes, it was his pen. But it was the inspiration of God that spoke to him and said what to write. It truly is the living word. In Colossians 3:1, he says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." What an incredible promise. If you were raised with Christ, this is the condition. He's saying if it's true that you were raised with Christ because you've confessed your faith, you've given your life to him, to be in his hands, for him to guide you, for him to own you, for him to lead you. If you are one of those, this is what you're meant to do. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Those things that are above are holy, righteous, pure, true. Doesn't he say that in Philippians? Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is excellent, whatever is honorable, think on these things. We're to put our focus on him, for he is those things. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We are hidden in Christ. We are abiding in him. He is abiding in us. And then people have the nerve to say, yes, but he didn't help me here. And yes, why has God let this happen? And yes, why didn't he do this instead of that? And yes, I don't feel loved by him. You don't feel loved by him? Well, maybe your mind is not set on things above. Maybe it's set on things below. And if someone doesn't have an experience of a living faith, which most Christians don't, so this is not a condemnation, but it's a wake-up call, his wake-up call. Holy Spirit is saying, wake up, bride, before it is too late. Because there were 10 virgins, and 5 of them had oil in their lamp, and 5 of them didn't. So simply because you have a label on you doesn't mean you're known by him. Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? That's his question. Because if you love him, you are known by him. If you do love him, you can be secure in the knowledge that he knows you. And that knowing, again, is that intimate union of oneness, you and God, one spirit, together. From that place, you can celebrate your life, and you will understand why the joy of my salvation exists and what it means. Because every day is a joy in him. That does not mean you will not have trials and troubles, because those are promised to us. But it does mean that in the trials and troubles, you can have peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That is also promised. And then the ultimate question is, how could we not love him who is love himself? It is through him that we can even love, because he poured out his love. The Father poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that's who indwells us, love himself. It is amazing to think that it's not our knowledge that saves us. It's not our knowledge that is important and the most vital element for God. But it is our heart and our love for him. It says in 1 Corinthians 8, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. We all know that scripture, and often we've heard it used in reference to perhaps people in leadership that have taken advantage of their position and perhaps even been abusive in a spiritual way. Or perhaps we've had that scripture used in a way where we even look at ourselves and think, am I thinking I'm more important than someone else? And yet I have not love. But listen what happens. Or what he says after. It is what happens, because it's what happens in the Spirit. What he shows you in the Spirit is a happening. The Word is a happening, a living happening. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. In verse 2, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by God. That is the only knowledge to be known by God that is eternal and that has value, because all our intellect is like so much dross. When we leave this place, our intellect is not something we're going to carry with us like treasure. but our love and our heart is. And he has already demonstrated that love through Jesus Christ, and he demonstrates it daily through Holy Spirit who lives in us. Communion with the Holy Spirit is a gift to us. He is called a gift, the promise, the seal. He is a gift to us. And yet he is the person of God, God Almighty, the giver of life, the one who directed the apostles, the one that came upon Mary, and through him, Jesus was conceived, the one who rose him from the dead. That same one lives in you and me, if we are his. We cannot take this lightly anymore. There is a time, and that time is here. It isn't a time coming somewhere deep in the future. Yes, there'll be the deep and intense tribulation that the world has never seen. Yes, that is coming. It is marked for a time, and it is described in depth and in detail in the book of Revelation. But the beginnings of that time is now. And as we watch the body, some are just, it's almost like they're slithering away, like they're not even his. And in 1 John, John spoke of this. In 1 John 2:19, he described this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For they had been, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are not of us. And that's in the English Standard. In the King James, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And we're watching this happen. I'm sure there are many Christians that are watching people that they thought were their brethren, and perhaps were their brethren, but have decided to turn away. Because it's too hard, because they don't have that lasting relationship, because they don't have the living faith, and because they don't love him. And in 1 John 4:16, the Apostle John says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now, sometimes when people first come to Christ or confess Christ or believe they have come to him, but they have no experience of his love, no experience of the depth of his sacrifice, no experience of their heart truly yielding and being given over to God, how can you love one that you are not willing to give your heart to? You can't. And that is the question, and that is the issue here. Believers have been doing not just lip service, but intellectual faith. They've been analyzing God. They've been around the edges, the perimeter of God. They haven't jumped in, dived into the depth of who he is. He presents himself fully available, fully ours, fully given away for us. It's our choice whether to partake or not. He says he will be near to those who are near to him, who are near to him in truth, in James. In truth. They mean it. They're genuine. In truth. Truth himself is Jesus. The Spirit of truth is Holy Spirit. In truth, you want to be with him. Not because it looks good to the church, or it looks good to family members, or it looks good to your neighbors, but because you desire it genuinely, in truth, to be his, fully committed, fully devoted, fully surrendered, fully yielded. That is to love him. And that love will cause you to love your neighbor as yourself. You won't be working it up in a frenzy. You can't help but love them. Because he is love in you, and you love love. So, Lord, we're going to pray, because there are so many Christians that have been drawn away by their flesh, by their pain, by wrong teaching, by fear. We ask you now, Lord, to draw them back to you, a true, loving drawing, Lord. Not one where they appear as if they love you, but they truly do. In fact, that they cannot help but love you. And I just want to pray that, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just ask that anyone that is listening and desires to truly know you, in truth, draw near to you so that you draw near to them, because they draw near to you in truth. I pray, Lord, right now you would come upon them and fill them up, Holy Spirit, with the glory of the living God that you are, and draw them into your heart for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.